Good morning, Decatur, Illinois. This is Pastor Matthew Versaman of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. And we invite you to worship with us each Sunday at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15 a.m. We hope you had a wonderful Easter celebration, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The early church considered the significance of Easter so profound that they set aside a number of weeks for the celebration of Christ's resurrection. And so today we actually have an Easter season in our church calendar of 7 Sundays in which we celebrate Christ's resurrection from the dead. So we are continuing to do that today. Let us begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is appropriate that we all confess our sins to God and seek His forgiveness. So let us confess our sins unto God our Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Amen. Upon your confession, I have the joy of telling you that God loves you, and in His love He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die for you, to forgive all of your sins, and Jesus did die for you. Therefore, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the word of God today from St. John chapter 20. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, when his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting, but believe." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus said, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Dear friends in Christ, it was late afternoon of that first day of the week when death was swallowed up in the victory of Jesus. And death was always considered the great swallower. But now, on Easter Day, the great swallower had been swallowed. When the full brunt of death hit Jesus in our place, but yet death was not able to keep him dead. And so by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we together with Paul can taunt death, even make fun of death, because it is a defeated enemy. The disciples were huddled together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. The Jewish leaders crucified Jesus, and probably the disciples thought, "Hey, we'll be next." But death is conquered. Jesus is risen. Even if they destroy our bodies, they cannot destroy our souls. They had heard about the resurrection from Mary and the women and Peter, but they hadn't seen or heard or touched Jesus yet. So they're still afraid. You know, dead men don't rise ordinarily. But the news seems to be getting out that the dead Jesus has risen. And to many, it seemed too good to be true. Maybe it seems too good to be true for you also. But suddenly, Jesus appeared. But no standing at the door and knocking on the door. How did he get in? Do we finally or really need to ask such questions? He's God, for whom nothing is impossible. And there he stands right before them, as the one who has conquered their death and ours. And the first words out of his mouth are, "Peace be with you." This is the Greek word for peace, but it is also equivalent to the Old Testament shalom. That is, that everything has been set right between God and us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And this "peace be with you" is the first gift of the resurrection. Everything has been set right between God and each of us. This peace is not some hollow, pie-in-the-sky, wishful thinking. This is true peace with God. Sinners are reconciled to God because Jesus absorbed all of God's wrath against us and against our sins. Jesus absorbed it. Then he checked back out of his grave alive, validating that our sins were totally paid for, otherwise he'd still be dead, and that the death our sins deserved was conquered. When Jesus rises, death loses. And so with his words, "Peace be with you," he also showed them his wounds, but now in his risen glorious body. These are the visible proof or the basis of our peace with God. The wounds mark Jesus as the crucified one. Without the wounds, they might have doubted that they had the right Jesus. Is it really Jesus, or perhaps a stunt double? Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hands and place my finger into the nail holes and my hand into his side, I will not believe." There is such a thing as stubborn unbelief. Jesus' wounds are more than proof that he's actually risen. They are the source of our peace or our shalom with God. Isaiah 53, "By his wounds we are healed." Wounds denote sacrifice. The wounded Jesus shows forth he was redemption's price. Once dead, yes, but now standing alive and well and kicking before their eyes. The price of our freedom and our forgiveness were his wounds. John 20, after he said, "Peace be with you," he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Seeing the once dead sacrifice for their sins, now standing right in front of their faces, alive and well, the disciples are literally bursting at the seams with joy. And then, guess what? Jesus says it again, a second time, "Peace be with you." Didn't the first time work? Or didn't they hear it the first time? Of course it worked, but now he gives them something more. The second time he says, "Peace be with you," he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is sort of a little Pentecost, or a little preview of Pentecost. This is their ordination day. With his words and by his Spirit, Jesus ordains them to speak in his stead and by his command. What he speaks and what he once heard is the reason he died, the forgiveness of sins. He wants forgiveness to be spoken. He wants forgiveness to be heard and taken to heart. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven, Jesus said. If you withhold forgiveness, now that would mean withholding it from those who are unrepentant, then it is withheld. Luther once said, the church is to be the mouthpiece of forgiveness. You may say, but only God can forgive sins. That's right. Only God can, and only God did through the sacrifice of his son Jesus. But if God chooses to use the mouth of a pastor to declare and deliver the forgiveness of sins, that's his prerogative. If he chooses to use the mouth of a layperson to declare and deliver the forgiveness of sins in their day-to-day lives, that's his prerogative. Yes, we can say, you are forgiven all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the sake of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. Do you believe that the absolution you hear from the pastor is God's absolution? Well, you should, because Jesus himself said to the disciples, if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. Those are the words of Jesus. Yes, pastors publicly in their office and lay people privately in their circles of influence, we are authorized by the Lord to forgive the sins of the repentant. When the Lord breathed on them and said, peace be with you, receive the Holy Spirit, the disciples inhale forgiveness from Jesus so they can exhale forgiveness to the world. And the same for us. That's what the office of the Holy Ministry is all about, forgiveness of sins. Or, if you will not be forgiven by your own unrepentance, than the withholding of forgiveness. There's no forcing with God. God is a giver. And with a giver, you have two options. You can either receive his gift or reject his gift. But there's no forcing. Sins are forgiven or sins are retained depending on the unrepentance or repentance of the sinner. We call it the office of the keys. By that we mean the keys that lock heaven, the law, unless you repent, you will perish, or the keys that unlock heaven, the gospel. Repent and believe the good news. As we apply the forgiveness Jesus won at the cross, the words, I forgive you all your sins, spoken in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, are the surest words there are on earth. They come by way of the cross and the empty tomb. They come with Jesus' breath, that is, his breathed out spirit. They come on the basis of his wounds that justify us. And then, these words are spirit and they are life. Cherish them, believe them, cling to them. If you have nothing else but those words, you have all that Jesus died to give you. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. But notice, Thomas wasn't there that first Sunday. See what happens when you miss church? You miss Jesus' words, his wounds, his peace, his forgiveness, his breath, and his spirit. You miss out on his gifts. The other disciples told him what happened, but Thomas refused to believe. In fact, he says, unless I touch his hands and side, there's no way I'm ever going to believe that a dead man, especially a dead Jesus, is now risen from the dead. In fact, folks, that's not simply doubt. That's unbelief. So what's our sin? Our sin is that we're slow to believe also. we're slow of heart to believe in Christ's death and resurrection too, and all that his death and resurrection have given to us. We say things, how can I know for sure that it all happened? I wasn't there. Jesus' words and wounds that he gives us in the gospel and in his supper aren't good enough oftentimes for us. Well, seeing is believing. If I can't see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, or touch it, I won't believe it. There's a little Thomas in each of us demanding proof rather than taking God at his word. It's too good to be true. So we put limitations on Christ. Dead men don't rise. Well, ordinarily that's true. But if all of the evidence shows that Jesus was dead, and that is what all the evidence shows, and if all the evidence also shows that he was alive again 3 days later or on the third day, and that is what all the evidence shows, then Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, whether or not you and I can figure out how we pulled it off. The old Adam in us has to be put to death by returning to our baptism where it was put to death. God promises us in baptism, God's promises in baptism don't have an expiration date. In baptism, we're told we were united with Christ in his death, and we died, and we were raised to life again with the risen Christ, Romans 6. So we recall our baptism and give the old Adam a nice funeral every day in repentance. We put it in its place as a defeated enemy through our faith in Jesus. And we remind it so that the sinner in us never forgets that it is dead in the death of Jesus, but I am alive in the life of Jesus. We also sin like the other 10 disciples. They were hiding for fear of men. Even having heard that death had been swallowed up by Jesus' resurrection, they were still hiding. Nothing could harm them now. Even if they did die, death could not harm them now. And yet they were afraid of men and afraid of death. Our sins keep us locked up in fear. We're afraid to confess Jesus to the world. We're afraid to turn from our sins in repentance. We try to cover up our sins like Adam and Eve, who hid from God's judgment behind bushes and fig leaves. We try to throw the deadbolt to the door of our lives to shut God out and everyone else, when all he wants is to come into our lives where we've locked ourselves in as our crucified and risen Savior to proclaim, "Peace be with you," in the forgiveness of all of our sins. Paroled prisoners often return to prison because they believe it's safer. And isn't that what we oftentimes do? Can the good news really be that good? That not only did Jesus die to forgive every sin I've ever done wrong, and rise for our justification. But can it be that good that we actually get to hear Jesus' forgiveness delivered to our ears like a package delivered to our front door through the mouth of a pastor? Absolutely. Luther said you should drag the pastor by the ear to hear your confession of sins and speak Christ's forgiveness to you so that you don't lose your forgiveness or lose sight of your forgiveness or no longer hear your forgiveness. Why? Because Christ has come to love you and not to condemn, and he offers a pardon of peace. If you'll come to his table, you will receive the greatest forgiveness, the greatest release, says Michael Card. Fortunately for Thomas, he went to church the next week with the disciples in that upper room. And guess what? Jesus pops in again without so much as a knock on the door. And again he says, "Peace be with you." And again he shows them his wounds, the nail marks, the spear mark. And then he condescends to Thomas's need and Thomas's level and says, okay, Thomas, go ahead. Put your finger here in my nail holes. Stick out your hand and plunge it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas finally believes and confesses, my Lord and my God, gift received. While you and I haven't seen Jesus, we can hear him every week through his word, and we can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch the same risen body that Thomas touched as we receive the Lord's Supper, and hear Jesus say, peace be with you. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, even if our brains can't comprehend it. Thomas's brain couldn't figure out how one who was dead could be alive again. But when he faced the reality of the risen Jesus, he simply confessed what he couldn't understand. My Lord and my God, you're alive and well. I don't know how you pulled it off, but I now know you are risen from the dead for my justification and forgiveness. And he is risen from the dead for the forgiveness and justification of all of us. And then, I don't know how you pulled it off, but those disciples are our eye sockets, so to speak. 1 John 1 says, him whom we have heard, whom we have seen with our eyes, whom our hands have touched, him we proclaim to you. You see, Jesus let those first eyewitnesses see and hear and taste and touch and smell all of the risen Jesus, so that they could proclaim it to you. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me to win forgiveness, so I'm sending you to proclaim forgiveness with the full weight and authority of the empty tomb of Jesus. Today, Jesus comes to us in the upper room of his house. On the same day that he rose, on the same day that he appeared to Thomas, our doors aren't locked at church because we don't fear losing our lives. Although the doors aren't locked, the pews also aren't filled because we failed to download the significance of the resurrection. Because I live, you will live also. On the same day he rose and appeared to Thomas, he now comes to us in his word with the same body Thomas touched, in his supper, with the same good news in the Lord's Supper, peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus said, peace be with you. And then he showed them his wounds, the source of our peace with God. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. For no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he pours out his Holy Spirit to us through baptism, the Word of God, and the Lord's Supper, so that we can believe that his peace and his forgiveness are ours. Then the Holy Spirit works faith. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And then he sends his disciples, including us, to exhale forgiveness to a world that refuses to believe its own forgiveness. It's really quite sad. And the only thing standing between them and hell is Jesus' words and us. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. The late Dr. Lewis Brighton, professor emeritus at our St. Louis Seminary, once said, the sin of refusing to confess Christ crucified and Christ risen for the forgiveness of sins, that sin, like any other sin, deserves death. Jesus is alive, which means he made it back out of hell and the grave, which means death is conquered, which means sins are paid for, which means the devil has lost his grip or hold on us, which means the cross worked, which means Jesus meant it when he said, "It is finished," which means his words are the truth, which means we're all forgiven in Christ. Are you sure you want to keep that to yourself? Don't let your loved ones know it. Don't let your best friends know it. Don't let your co-workers or fellow students know it. Are you sure you don't want your loved ones and friends to know this good news? In closing, in case you missed it, there's actually one more gift in our text, a bonus blessing. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." In other words, Jesus has you and me in mind when he says those words. We can't see Jesus face to face yet, but we can hear his words. We can't touch his glorified body or wounds yet, but we can eat and drink his wounded and risen body and blood in the Lord's Supper. We don't see yet, but we will soon. For now, he simply bids us to take him at his words and at his wounds. "Lord, you said to me, 'Peace be with you,' and you rose again to prove that you have reconciled me to yourself. And I'm taking you at your word that I am reconciled through the blood of Christ shed on the cross. I'm reconciled and at peace with God because of your wounds, Jesus Christ. Amen." And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Let us pray. O risen Savior, we thank you for all that you paid and all that you suffered and all that you endured in order that you might completely pay for every sin we ever did wrong. And we thank you that you didn't come to rub our sins in. You came to rub them out. And help us, dear Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, working through the Word of God, to know and to trust and to believe that we are forgiven, that we are now at peace with you through Jesus Christ, and you are at peace with us through Jesus Christ. And then help us to avail ourselves to your word and the remembrance of our baptism and to your Lord's Supper. Help us to avail ourselves to those means of grace so that we hear our forgiveness again and again, so that we don't forget our forgiveness. And then finally, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, we pray that you will strengthen and equip us so that as we inhale your forgiveness of sins, life and salvation through the word and sacraments, that you will then lead us to exhale that forgiveness, life and salvation to everyone we come in contact with by letting them know that they too are included in the death of Christ for their forgiveness, and they're included in the life of Christ who is risen from the dead. Through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Again, this has been the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church in Decatur, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur, and we invite you to worship with us on Sundays at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And because Christ is risen, we are risen. We are risen indeed. Alleluia.